It is Friday, September 17th, 2010. I am Bill, and this is Where Icarus Flies. Come on, let me hear you say. All right, welcome back, everybody. My name's Bill. I will be your host for the duration of this show. I will be joined in the studio a little bit later by my cohort, Joey Hoover, to give you the Hoover Report. It's been a fun September so far. Here in the San Francisco Bay Area, it has been a hot September, which is typical. The first couple of weeks in September are usually very hot. And what's funny is I've been out here for over 17 years now, and every year the folks say, man, this is unseasonably warm. Really? Every freaking year, it's hot in September. In fact, the 2 weeks in the beginning of September are normally hotter than most of the rest of the summer. So I don't know what people are talking about. So welcome back. Let's get right into it this week so I can tell you what's on tap this week at Where Icarus Flies. All right, what we have this week on Where Icarus Flies, I want to talk about cheating. Cheating in sports, especially professional sports. There was an incident the other day with Derek Jeter where, you know, allegedly he was hit by a pitch, and it turns out he really wasn't, but he played it up. And a lot of folks are accusing him of cheating. Is that really cheating? Should it be called cheating? And, you know, what is cheating in professional sports? So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the most well-known cheaters in professional sports history. We're also going to be talking about Big Brother 12. Now, I've held off talking about this. Yes, I am a Big Brother fan. It is one of my summer guilty pleasures. I love that show. I love watching it. I watch the Showtime After Dark. It's great stuff. I don't have the live feeds, but I want to talk about Big Brother 12. Could this have been the most boring cast in Big Brother history? Yet the ratings were at an all-time high for them. What the heck is going on? So I want to give you my thoughts on that. I also want to talk about iTunes Ping, this new music-based social networking service that they came out. And let's talk about, you know, what is it? How do I use it? Is it going anywhere? Then Joey Hoover will be in the house to give us his irreverent take on the happenings in our world, and we'll end with a little special Masterworks Theater. So that is what we have on tap here at Where Icarus Flies this week. All right, cheating in sports. Let me start. Let's talk about what happened the other night with Derek Jeter. So we have a tight playoff race. We have the New York Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays. And at one point in the game, it looks like Derek Jeter gets hit by a pitch. He kind of tries to... The ball was thrown inside. He turns and tries to get out of the way. And it clearly goes off of him. He starts holding his arm, his elbow, makes a big thing out of it. You know, you would have thought that someone just came out and shot him in the arm, right? I mean, granted, Major League pitchers throw freaking hard. And if you get hit in the elbow or something, that's going to hurt. So he plays it up nice, takes his base, game goes on. Well, it shows later on with the replay in super, super slow motion that the ball came inside. Jeter did turn to try to get out of the way, and the ball hit the knob, the end of the bat, and then ricocheted off the bat and hit him, you know, around his hip area. So clearly, after viewing the super slow-mo replay, Derek Jeter did not get hit by the pitch. It hit the ball, hit the bat first, and doesn't matter if it hits you after that because that's technically a foul ball. Well, Derek Jeter even admitted after the game he knew he didn't get hit. And I think it's hilarious that the ball most certainly went off of his hip, but he's holding his arm like he got hit in the arm, and he really had to act it out, and the trainer comes out and has to look at him and everything, and there was really no need to ham it up. He was already awarded his base. Every umpire that had a view looked like it hit Jeter. And to be fair, it happened really fast, right? Now, Jeter's being accused of cheating. Is this cheating? Should it be cheating? My opinion, no. No. There is no obligation that any athlete has in sports to correct the ruling of an umpire or an official. If he is called as being hit by the pitch, he is not going to turn and look at that umpire and say, you know what, that didn't get me. You're foolish to do that. So what's the difference between getting these little advantages like that and cheating? I've coached youth baseball for, I'm going into my 26th year of coaching youth baseball. I've been coaching youth baseball since I was 16 years old. I've coached at every level from four-year-old T-ball players up to high school varsity teams. If I have a player that's run into a base, and let's say he's clearly out by a step, who knows, right? He's out. Umpire calls him safe. It is not that player's job to look at the umpire and say, no, no, he got me. That's a kid in high school that I'd bench. So why aren't we teaching our children to be honest in sports games? I mean, shouldn't that be the call? You know, I was at a game, I wasn't coaching, I was working the scorebook for an official high school basketball game. And one of the players, I thought, from where I was sitting, it was clearly he was standing with his foot over the three-point line, but he jumps up, swishes the shot, and the basketball referee called, you know, signaled three-pointer. Later on, I happen to know the kid. Later on, he said, yeah, no, I wasn't. That wasn't a three. And of course, the kid wasn't trying to cheat. He just took a shot, right? It's not his job to turn and say, no, that's not a three-pointer. So what is cheating then? Isn't that cheating? He knows. He might not have tried to fool the referee, but he knew, that the referee made the wrong call. Shouldn't he try to correct that referee? In football, guy who's running down the sideline, steps out of bounds accidentally. Maybe his foot barely went over the line. He runs in, scores a touchdown. Umpire on the field, the ref on the field, calls it a touchdown. Is it his job to say, you know what, no, I stepped out? My answer to all those is no. I don't consider any of that cheating. In my book, so how do I define cheating? This is hard. In my book, it is intentionally trying to gain that unfair advantage. I want to say intentionally trying to deceive the other team. That might be an okay definition. I'm thinking in my mind, I'm thinking this as I'm speaking, that, well, wait a minute, Jeter intentionally tried to deceive us. Well, he didn't try to intentionally deceive the other team. He tried to deceive the umpires. Maybe that's not a good definition. Because I don't believe that Jeter was cheating the other night. Let's think about this. I'd love to hear your thoughts. So after I post the podcast on my website, if you could make some comments or if you want to send some email to feedback@whereicarusflies.com, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this matter. This might be something that we need to take more than one show. So down the line, collect a lot of feedback. So while we're thinking about that, let me talk about some things that I believe are cheating. And there's a lot of lists out there of cheating athletes and such. And I want to stick to professional sports. Let's not worry about the amateur and high school, little league, that kind of thing. You know, there are a lot, doing some research on this, there are a lot of examples of point shaving, right? Where it happens quite a bit in basketball. Right. Where the better basketball team, you know, maybe they're favored by a huge amount. Maybe they're favored by 20 points. And it's clearly they're going to win. Well, the athletes on that team, or some of them, are trying to win. They're not trying to throw the game, but they're trying to keep it closer than it otherwise would have been. So that anybody who bets on the other team to win, right, or bets against the, you know, bets with the spread that, all right, I think that team will win, but, you know, they're not going to win by more than 20. So the better team keeps the score. Maybe they still end up winning, but they only win by 5. So they're within the spread. That makes a huge difference, especially when you're talking about college basketball, which is a heavily bet on sport. Point shaving is clearly cheating. It's not right. You're not giving it your all for monetary reasons. So I'm not going to bring up any of the point shaving scandals. There have been multiple times that's happened. Arizona in 1994 is a big example, but there are lots and lots. So I'm not going to go into point shaving. Here's one that I don't remember hearing of, but I can't believe this when I read it. In 2000, the Spanish Paralympic basketball team at the 2000 Summer Paralympics in Sydney, Australia, 10 of the 12 members of the Spanish basketball team were normal, nothing wrong with them. They had been listed under the mentally handicapped, mentally challenged section of in the rules of Paralympics. And 10 of the 12 members were perfectly fit. Nothing wrong with them, folks. I mean, that is awful. I couldn't believe that. And it seems, I don't know, you know, I know that folks in the Paralympics aren't necessarily helpless, right? But it just seems worse to me that you're, you know, those... You know, someone who is, physically or mentally challenged, you know, they have a hard enough time in life battling life, right? Battling over their, you know, what they have, the cards they have been dealt. And then just, you know, to have a group of normal, you know, I shouldn't say normal, right? But with nothing wrong with them. You know, the only, the 10 of that 12 members of that basketball team, they certainly were ethically challenged, but that's about it. Morally challenged. So it just seems more egregious to me. There are some wonderful examples of cheating in baseball. All right, so if I think that Derek Jeter wasn't cheating by trying to get the call, what is cheating in baseball? Some great examples from pitchers. Who was it? I can't remember now. I remember watching the game. I know Kenny Rogers has been busted before. I don't think it was him. It was Phil Niekro, right? We had the Emery board. Phil Niekro on the Emery board. And the umpire comes out to the mound to check him. Because he was scuffing the ball. He was, the ball is fairly smooth. You know, it has the seams and such. but he was putting extra scuff marks, rough patches on the ball because the pitcher then gets a better grip on the ball. And a good pitcher who knows how to use that extra grip can make the ball curve better, throw it faster. You can do some wicked things with the ball. So the umpire comes out to check him out, and he kind of turns and flicks the emery board behind him, and this is all caught on camera. We're all watching this happen. So that was a hilarious moment of someone getting busted. There's been plenty of examples of pitchers who have illegal substances, right? Either to help get a better grip on the ball or make the ball, you know, do funny things. Kenny Rogers in the 2006 World Series is a good example. He had some, you know, weird substance on his wrist or something like that, where he, you know, he would dab his fingers in it. It was he was accused of it, and you know, you could see it from the television cameras, but it was talked about, it was just dirt. But then after going back and reviewing a lot of tapes of his recent outings, he'd seen that black smudge more than once. So it was pretty obvious. You know, there are examples in baseball of batters with illegal bats, right, trying to get that illegal advantage. Albert Bell and Sammy Sosa are two, you know, examples that jump right to my mind, right? Albert Bell in 1994, you know, had a bat that was taken from him in the game, and the umpires were going to go and check it out after the game. And somebody from his team kind of wriggled through the rafters, right, through and shimmied down a little release hatch into where the umpire's room was and swapped the bats. But the idiot who swapped the bat swapped it with somebody else's bat who had their name on it, and it was clearly someone broke in and swapped the bats. And the problem with Albert Bell is, this is a big problem, why they couldn't just swap in another one of Albert Bell's own bats. Because every one of Albert Bell's bats were corked, were illegal bats. So he got busted for that. He ended up getting suspended like 7 or 9 games. You know, Sammy Sosa, who was a few years back, right, doing batting practice, and his bat breaks, and it's clearly corked. You know, he tried to sell us on the line of, no, I only use that bat in batting practice. There are excellent examples of cheating for using illegal substances, right? Steroids and human growth hormone and substances that have been banned by sports leagues and agencies because it gives you that extra advantage over somebody else. And not only that, one of the other reasons we ban these substances is not only because it's considered cheating and a lot of these are not healthy to your body, but it's setting the wrong message to our kids because steroids in our young kids really, really are bad for the body. It can hurt their development and growth and more. So, okay, so what are some of the better examples here of cheating? Do you remember Danny Almonte? In 2001, the Little League World Series, he was just a remarkable pitcher for the Little League team out of New York, out of the Bronx. And in fact, he had thrown a perfect game in the World Series, Little League World Series. And a perfect game, for those of you who don't know, is when they're in a 9-inning game, right? In the major leagues, there are 27 batters. Well, Little League only has 6 innings. So in Little League, there are 18 batters that a pitcher would face if you were able to get every batter out in a row. So a perfect game is no hits, no walks, no batter reaches base for any reason. Okay. If there's an error, like I said, a base on balls, a walk, a hit, that's not a perfect game. So he saw 18 batters, and he sat 18 batters down. Now, he may not have struck them all out, right? He your fielders might have thrown them out. But that's pretty impressive for a pitcher. It doesn't happen very often. Well, it turns out that this phenomenal player, they had cheated and given the wrong birth certificate. He was a 14-year-old playing against 12-year-olds, 11 and 12-year-olds. And 2 years may not make too much of a difference after you're in your 20s, but when you're 12 years old, 2 years is a huge, huge difference. So that was some major cheating by his family and that team. Let's see, some others, right? There's, you know what's funny is when I was doing my research, and I remember this happening, but I don't remember anyone ever talking about this as potential cheating. Mike Tyson, when he bit Evander Holyfield's ear during the fight. Was it against the rules? Of course. I mean, I guess technically that's cheating. You can't do things like that. But something so blatant as biting, I think for me personally, transcends cheating and jumps right into an act of violence, physical violence against someone. Which is funny to say, considering it's in a boxing match and the entire, you know, game of boxing, sport of boxing, is all about violent actions, right? I mean, you're trying to beat the crap out of somebody else. So I think it's pretty funny for me to say that it transcends cheating and turns into an act of violence, even though the whole damn sport is violent. But what I mean is that it goes beyond, and that's something that you're getting potentially law enforcement involved in, right? That is, might as well just taken out a knife and stabbed him, right? I mean, that's crazy. So I don't see that as cheating as much as breaking the law. To me, it's more than that. I grew up in Boston, and the Boston Marathon, you know, is one of, you know, the holy sportsness that is granted to us in the New England area. And I remember this very, very well. In 1980, there was a woman named Rosie Roots. And Rosie won the Boston Marathon. And at the time, she set a record. It was like 2.5 hours. And that was amazing at the time. Well, it turns out that Rosie, there's a myth that Rosie took a cab to the end. Okay, that's not what happened. Really. What happened is Rosie registered for the race. She was never at the starting line. Somewhere close to the end of the race, I forget how far out exactly, but somewhere close to the end of the race, Rosie jumped out of the crowd and finished the race. And that's how she won. She only ran like a mile or so. I don't remember where, you know, exactly how far it was. You know, and that's 1980. There wasn't this glut of cameras and all kinds of other things out there. But apparently she just didn't count on the fact that folks noticed that she ran out of the crowd. So that is one of my favorite cheating stories of an athlete. What are some others? You know, I know I just mentioned, you know, using illegal substances like steroids. We have a steroid era here that we're just coming out of Major League Baseball. I don't want to bring up any of those folks. I mean, there's plenty of Olympic athletes that have lost their medals and have had things taken away, you know, even years and years later. But one of my favorite was Ben Johnson back in the 80s, I think it was 88, right? The Summer Olympics in Seoul. And he just ran a wonderful 100-meter sprint. And I've got this poster, at the time, I had this poster of Ben Johnson. and this was from Sports Illustrated. I mean, you could see the muscles and just everything about him. They were just bulging more than normal. And I remember my good buddy and I were sitting there looking at the picture going, that's not right. That does not look like a normal human being, even one that is so conditioned. And sure enough, it turned out a few weeks later that he got busted for steroids or whatever the heck he was using. So, unbelievable that kind of stuff happens. Of course, probably the most famous episode of cheating in the last 100 years had to be the Chicago White Sox of 1919, or, you know, more commonly known as the Chicago Black Sox, because there were 8 players on the team that took money to throw the World Series. Now, unfortunately, one of those fellas was Shoeless Joe Jackson, and I won't go into it here, but there's a lot of good evidence to show that Shoeless Joe didn't act, although, let me back up, because I'm getting excited now. Shoeless Joe took the money, but there's a lot of evidence that shows that Shoeless Joe didn't actually throw the game. He may have taken the money, but he didn't cheat. He didn't try to throw the series. Does that make it right? No. There's a lot of circumstances around Shoeless Joe. Wasn't the best educated person out there. There's some folks who think that he may not quite understood what he was doing. After reading a lot of stuff, I think he did. And I think he changed his mind. And he didn't actually carry through with it. In any case, the Chicago White Sox of 1919 certainly cheated. A lot of people feel that Tonya Harding, back in 1994, cheated when she hired somebody to, remember this? She hired somebody to go smash Nancy Kerrigan's knee in with a pipe. Is that cheating? Again, for me, that's kind of like the Mike Tyson thing. That doesn't fall in the realm of cheating. It's not like this was at the performance, right, at the skating meet. This was just, I hired a thug to go do something bad to somebody, and that's not cheating. That's just against the law. That's somebody that should go to jail for their acts, not somebody who should be, you know, punished for cheating. So, was it right? No. Is it, you know, there's no specific rule against that in skating, and nor would there anywhere be, right? But to me, again, that transcends the sport itself and delves into the realm of, you know, that person needs to go to jail. Let's see, what else in there? And of course, you know, the last thing I'll bring up is, I'm not the hugest soccer fan, but there was a time where, my buddies really were, and I watched the World Cup quite a bit with them when it was back in the early 80s and such, and I remember the goal, I remember the supposed Hand of God goal where Diego Maradona, it wasn't in the finals, I believe it was against England, right? He ended up basically punching the ball in the net, and, you know, there's great camera footage that shows that. Well, the referee called it a goal, a good goal. Now, is that cheating? In my book, no. I don't think that he intentionally set out when he was making that run to throw the ball into the net. It's something that just happened. Is it against the rules? Yes. Should the referee have caught it? Yes. Is it Maradona or any player's job to then say, no, I didn't take that goal? No, of course not. It is not his job. If the referee or the umpire or whomever is in charge of officiating that game makes a wrong call, it's not up to the players on the field to correct them. So a lot of folks like to put this down as cheating. I don't see it as such. I see that as something that should have been caught by the referee. You know, how about those basketball players, you know, that you bump into and they fall, right? They fold. Is that cheating that they took a dive? You know, I don't think so. Do I like it? No. Do I think there should be a rule against it like there is in hockey? Yes, although you barely ever see the diving penalty called in hockey. But do I see... I just see that as part of the game, right? A little acting. To me, I don't see that as cheating. So where do you go over the line? That's what we need to come up with an answer. What's the difference between playing with passion and even trying to sell yourself, you know, so you get the call, you know, like that catcher grabs the ball, pitch comes to him, and he quickly moves the ball into the strike zone, tries to frame it. Is that cheating? I don't think so. So what's the line? I'm not going to come up with that answer today. I'd like to hear what you have to say. What do you think that line is in sports between cheating and just being so passionate that we go give it all and try to even, you know, act a little bit to get a call? So I'd love to hear what you have to say on this topic. Post it on the blog or send your feedback to feedback@whereicarusflies.com. All right, I want to talk about my summer guilty pleasure, Big Brother. We had Big Brother 12 this summer. And if you have been a Big Brother fan, I would be surprised if you didn't agree with me that this summer we could have possibly had the most boring cast ever. However, according to CBS, the ratings for Big Brother are at an all-time high. Now, does that mean that the folks like the cast? Nothing else to watch or what? I don't know. But this is my take. I still enjoyed the season. Do I think that this was a pretty boring cast? Yes, I do. What I liked about this cast, however, is that for the most part, I thought they were very likable and very TV friendly. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone in the cast was likable. I mean, you have the villains like the Brendans and the Rachels and the petty folks like the Monets and the Britneys and, you know, the crazies like Andrew. And there are others. Was I pleased with the outcome of the show? Yeah, I liked that Hayden, the young college kid, wins the $500,000. In fact, towards the end, I wouldn't have minded any of them winning, to be quite honest. I couldn't stand Brendan and Rachel on the show, but I wouldn't have been upset if either of them had won either. Maybe not Rachel, because, you know, she was just kind of more petty and mean than I liked. Brendan, on the other hand, although he's kind of a whack job and an idiot and was kind of mean to people, I also thought he played a darn good game and he deserved to win if he had made it to the end. You know, we had big scandals, right? And you can't see me doing my air quotes right now, but big scandals with players like Matt lying about his wife, saying that she had this disease and, you know, she could lose her legs or the ability to walk or whatever the heck it was. And you know what? I have no problem with that. What I think it's hilarious on all of these reality shows is that the goal of the show is that you are to beat the others on the show. And games like Big Brother and Survivor, as just two examples, are set up so that to win it, you're going to have to make alliances, and you're going to have to tell lies, and you're going to have to do what it takes to get to the end. And we've seen time and time again on these shows that, for the most part, the folks that play super dirty and super manipulative and get caught at it make so many enemies to the other players that have to vote for them to win that they don't end up winning. So lying and playing dirty, and again, I'm putting dirty in air quotes right now, lying and playing dirty like that is part of the game, but if you do too much of it, you'll end up getting burned in the end. So I just think it's hilarious that because of that aspect of the game, there's so many folks who are like, I've played this with integrity and I've never lied. And I can't believe that they're actually standing there saying those words, because we could probably show examples of 5 or 6 lies that they told. So that's why I really love some of these reality shows. I dropped Survivor a couple of years ago. I haven't really been watching it, but my wife and I used to watch that one religiously. And Big Brother is about the only major reality show we watch. I am American Idol fan, but I don't consider that a reality show by reality show definitions. So we do watch Big Brother. But you know what I really like about these shows is it's really interesting to see that people cannot truly change who they are. You really can't. It takes a special breed of folks to be able to do that. And they very rarely find those for these shows. If there were better shows on in the summer, would my wife and I choose to watch something else? Possibly. Possibly. But they're really, you know, there's not much to choose from. And a lot of times Big Brother is interesting, especially with fighting and whatnot. But this group was really, really different. There weren't really alliances that form. I mean, yeah, we had this secret brigade alliance from the beginning, and there was Brendan and Rachel who were together, and there were some side alliances, which was very different and weird from how the show normally happens, where there's usually at least 2 major alliances, and by about 3-4 weeks into the show, everybody knows about them, and they're kind of vying against one another, and there's some, you know, extra folks on the side that haven't really committed to an alliance, which, you know, they like to call floaters on Big Brother. And that didn't really happen this year. And I can't believe that there were folks that didn't suspect that there were big alliances in the house. Everybody just didn't really suspect that. I don't know why. Maybe it was because the cast was so lackluster that they didn't believe that anybody had it really in them to have these other alliances. And unfortunately, by the time this season in Big Brother 12, in my opinion, by the time the show really started heating up and getting interesting, all of the interesting players got voted out. So the show really kept the bland players for a long, long time. And that doesn't normally happen in these shows. I still enjoyed watching it. I really did, from week to week, enjoy what was going on. And Big Brother was really, CBS was really trying to throw in things to make it an interesting season. And every time they tried to throw in something interesting, it for the most part fell flat. They had this big twist this summer was they're going to be a saboteur in the house, somebody working against the rest of the house, you know, more than normal. And that turned out to be the most boring thing I've ever seen. The saboteur, the original saboteur, got voted out in the first week. And then when they finally did get somebody else to commit to doing the job, they didn't do anything. They just made, you know, random announcements on the television screen that 95% of were fabrications and lies. And how the house couldn't figure that out after a while. Wow, pretty much everything the saboteur says, none of that ever happens. So that was pretty stupid, this whole saboteur thing. They should have had the saboteur actually doing stuff. Like on the very first show, they had the saboteur padlock the pantry where all the food for pretty much most of the food for the house was. So that kind of stuff was interesting, right? If they had been doing things like that all summer. But that's not what it was. So that was pretty lame. They ratcheted up this special event they call Pandora's Box, where the person in charge of the house that week has the ability to open Pandora's Box, and something good and something bad always comes out of the box. You know, you might win money, and then the rest of the house, you know, has things taken away from them. And the Pandora's Box this year was really lame. They kept they did it like three or four times. Usually they do it once or twice a season, and they kept doing it. And less interesting things would happen. About the most interesting thing that came out of Pandora's box as a punishment was that randomly in this 24-hour period, music would start playing in the house, and then everybody had to stop what they were doing and dance until the music was over. And this could be day or night. So that was kind of cute, and I predict that we'll see that as being part of the rules next summer when Big Brother comes on again. They're going to, I bet you anything, they have that as just anytime you hear music in the house, you got to dance, and that'll happen randomly throughout the entire season. The Zingbot, they had this robot show up that would make fun of you and throw zingers at you. The Zingbot was probably the most interesting thing in the whole damn season, if you ask me. So, Big Brother, I thought, you know, I enjoyed it. I still watched it. I do agree wholeheartedly that this was, I didn't dislike this cast the most. I genuinely didn't care about them most of the time, one way or the other. But I do think, I don't think it's the worst cast we've ever had as a cast, but I think as a whole unit, it was definitely the most boring group of folks that we've seen. So that's my take on Big Brother 12. Let me know if you watched it, what you think, or if you like reality shows in general. Send your feedback to feedback@whereicarusflies.com. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it today, but I do want to talk very briefly about the new social networking service from Apple that is built into iTunes called Ping. iTunes Ping. So I've been using iTunes Ping for, I don't know, a couple of weeks now since it came out. And it can be interesting, right, to see the music that your friends are purchasing and suggesting, and you can follow artists and such. Right now, though, just as a general launch, I think it's fairly worthless. I think it doesn't bring a lot to the social networking table at this time. I think that it's very feature light. The fact that I have to open up iTunes, you know, a separate app just to use it, I think is, for me, a fairly non-starter. So I think that iTunes Ping, and Apple's not dumb, but I think iTunes Ping, and really to really take off, it needs some sort of web interface so I don't always have to open up iTunes to see what's going on. And it needs more features. You know, maybe to be able to not only post to Ping, but to Facebook and Twitter, the things that I'm doing, the things that I like. Maybe to find my Twitter and Facebook friends, just using Twitter and Facebook as examples. So it needs a lot more integration with other social networking sites. You know, maybe it's great at what it does, and that's all it wants to do, and that's fine. I just really don't think it's really going to take off and have that effect on the masses that a Twitter and a Facebook has. And maybe that's not what they're going for. And if that's not what they're going for, then so be it, right? Then throw my suggestions and comments out the window. But I have a feeling that Apple wants more than just to be a niche little thing that'll die out slowly or quickly if they don't have that integration with other social networking sites, as well as the ability to have a non-iTunes interface. Not necessarily for everything, but I want to be able to not have to log into Ping all the time. Maybe I have to use Ping for some more advanced features. I think that's a miss as well, but I think that I could, depending on what the features were, I could probably live with that. So iTunes Ping, it's here. It doesn't really do much yet, so we'll see what happens with it. I'm interested to see where this is going to go. I think it feels more like a pet project to me that Apple will forget about after a while, especially since I think that the interface on the iPhone and iPod Touch is way better than the interface within iTunes. Maybe that's going to turn into a mobile platform We'll see. I'd love to hear feedback on this. I'd love to hear what you have to say on it. So go ahead and send me an email or post right to the blog. Well, it's that time again to call in Joey Hoover. Hey, Joey! Joey! Hey, man! Come on in here!
Good to see you.
Oh, it's good to see you too, man.
Get my stuff all put on here.
All right. Y'all settled?
Yeah, I'm ready. All right, now, go ahead. Do your thing.
All right. So, without further ado, I give you Joey Hoover.
Hey, thanks, Bill. It is great to be back here again with you.
Oh, thanks.
And I have some great stuff for the Hoover Report this week. So let me get right into it.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, well, I think everybody knows how much I do not like the New York Yankees being a Boston fan, right?
Oh,
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I hear you.
So the other night, Derek Jeter pretended to be hit by a pitch, right? Well, you saw this, right?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I spent a few minutes talking about it on the show earlier.
Oh, all right. Okay, well, cool then. Well, you know, come on, Jeter. Do I have a problem that you pretended to get hit by a pitch? No. But the way you hammed it up there, come on. You suck.
I agree.
Okay. Hey, did you hear about this Australian teacher and the assignment that she gave to her kids?
No.
You hear about that?
No.
Nothing?
No, nothing.
You got nothing there?
No, I didn't hear about it.
All right. God. Well, in a class that was teaching about the world and controversy and terrorism and such, the teacher gives an assignment to the class, and they're about 15, 16-year-old kids.
Okay.
The assignment was to plan a terrorist attack.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I'm not making this up here.
Oh, my God.
The assignment read, your goal is to kill the most innocent civilians to get your message across.
Oh, my.
Can you believe this?
No. Unbelievable. So what the heck happened?
Well, you know, it's a very inexperienced teacher made a mistake.
yeah, I'll say.
You know, the assignment was pulled by the principal.
Good.
But I don't think that the teacher got fired or anything because, you know,
what?
I think it was just a general bad choice. And they weren't really trying to be, you know, an idiot on purpose.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Well, I was just accidentally, I didn't have the words. Unbelievable.
I know. So anyway, the teacher in Australia that gave this assignment, you suck.
Yeah, more than that. All right, anyway.
All right, well, turning back to sports.
Okay.
The San Diego Padres. Huh? You've been paying attention to this?
Yes,
holy
I have.
Collapse the end of the season here.
Seriously.
On a playoff run. At one point, they had lost 9 in a row.
Uh-huh.
And finally, the San Francisco Giants took over sole position of first place last night. And there's not a lot of games left there in the season.
No,
what
not
an
at all.
Epic fall with these guys. So, San Diego Padres, you suck. All right. Turning over to science and health, because you know the healthy, clean living that I do, right?
Yeah. Yes, and anybody who follows your Twitter feed would know that as well. Yes.
Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
Go on.
Yeah, using the Twitters.
Anyway,
what?
Just go.
All right, whatever. So, anyway, you know, back in health. So, the Corn Refiners Association.
Who?
The CRA. You ever hear of them?
No.
Honestly.
No.
No, me neither. Anyway, so the Corn Refiners Association has been putting on a big push here.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have heard of fructose. Man! Fructose, right?
Yes, fructose.
Okay, fructose, corn syrup. Yeah, you got it.
All right. What about it?
Well, that corn syrup stuff there, They're pushing to change the name to Corn Sugar.
Corn Sugar?
Yeah, Corn Sugar.
Corn
because
Sugar.
Because the other name, the... it has a negative connotation. The public doesn't like that. So they want to change the name. Not the chemical, but the name.
Yeah, so they're not changing
it's
the
still
bad
stuff.
For you.
Yeah.
They're not going to change
seriously.
It.
So Corn Refiners Association, come on. You suck.
Seriously.
All right, I got a couple more, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. You know, I know you are fond of this one, the Apple TV,
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I know. You got me hooked on it, too. It works all right. I do like it.
And they have that new one,
soon. Yeah, there's that new one coming out.
Uh-huh, what about it?
And what I've been looking forward to is the ability to rent, not to buy, but rent the TV shows.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be cool.
Yeah, no, I know you can do it on the new one, so I'm trying to do it with my old one, and at the moment, you cannot rent TV shows. I can rent movies, but not the TV shows with my current Apple TV.
Yeah, it you can't do it right now. Hopefully, they'll make an update or something, but yeah, I think that's silly.
Yeah, well, you know what? This is what I think. You know, Apple and this travesty here you have afflicted upon me.
Travesty.
Not being able to rent the shows with my current Apple TV. Yeah. You suck.
I feel your pain.
All right, finally here. Have you seen that show, Nikita?
Yeah, the new one on the CW.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, you know, it's starring that Maggie Q actress.
Yeah.
Who was in Mission Impossible 3. She's a big actress in China. And the previews, I thought, made the show have potential.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Even though it's like the 450th remake of La Femme Nikita.
Seriously, what about the show?
Well, you know, I like that guy. What's his name? Shane West.
Oh, yeah.
He was on ER.
Oh, yeah, I liked him.
You know, it had potential, but I watched a couple shows now. It's got nothing.
Oh,
it's not
really?
Make it. You know, the new Nikita show at the moment, it sucks.
Okay.
And that there is the Hoover Report of all things that suck this week.
Well, thank you for coming in.
Hey, you are welcome, Bill, but I gotta get going now.
All right.
So, hey, man, great to see you, and I will see you next week.
All right, see you, Joey. Thank you. All right, everybody, that was Joey Hoover with the Hoover Report. You can follow him on Twitter at Hoover Report. So take a look. All right, last time on Masterworks Theater, I played for you a song. I played... A Wonderful World. I'm just a budding guitar player. I am 120% a hack. And I'm still, you know, still getting my basic chords down. I can't do anything fancy, you know, no cool finger picking. And there are some, what I would categorize for me anyway, as advanced chords called bar chords, where you have one finger that has to hold down multiple strings, and I'm really not very good with those, so I'm just trying it out, right? I'm just noodling away, and hopefully in the course of a long time I'll get better. So I am going to play another song today on Masterworks Theater, because I got some good feedback from the last one, and you know, again, I know I'm not great, I don't expect to go out and sell records or anything, I'm just trying to have fun with it. So I'd love to hear what you have to think, good or bad, right? Because I know it's not going to be that great. So start with your bar low. And if I impress you, that's great. All right? So here I am with The Boxer by Simon and Garfunkel.
Just a poor boy, though my story's seldom told. I have squandered my resistance for a pocket full of mumbles, such are promises. All lies and jest, still a man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. Than a boy in the company of strangers, in the quiet of the railway station, running scared, laying low, seeking out the poorer quarters where the ragged people go, looking for the places only they would know. Get no offers, just a come on from the ladies on 7th Avenue. I do declare, there were times when I was so lonesome, I took some comfort there. Anger and his shame. I am leaving, but the fighter still remains.
Thank you for joining me this week. I hope you enjoyed my performance of The Boxer by Simon and Garfunkel. Yeah, I know I have to work on the acoustics of where I record that. But I had a lot of fun this week. It was great having Joey back. We have some things to talk about for future. Would love to hear your thoughts on the show, other topics you'd like to bring up. Send all of your requests to feedback@whereicarusflies.com. Again, you can follow my buddy Joey on Twitter if you look for Hoover Report. You can follow me on Twitter at whereif. Take a look at the blog, whereicarusflies.com. So for my pal Joey, this has been Bill. Thanks for joining us. Where Icarus Flies. WhereIcarusFlies.com provides this podcast for your personal enjoyment, information, education, and communication. This podcast is copyright 2010 by WhereIcarusFlies.com. You may not distribute, modify, transmit, reuse, repost, or use the content of this podcast for commercial purposes without the express written permission of WhereIcarusFlies.com. Requests for permission to republish or to copy and distribute can be obtained by sending an email to media@whereicarusflies.com. Thank you. Have a great day.